Welcome to the Tell It Avs It Is podcast, your home for everything Colorado Avalanche on the Hockey Podcast Network. Here's your hosts, Griffin Youngs and Christian Boulay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Tell It Abs It Is podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Griffin Youngs, joined by Christian Boulay, as always. And today we are going to be continuing our player review and preview series for every player on the Colorado Avalanche. And I think this one's pretty important, Christian, I would think.
He's a pretty good player.
Pretty good. Had a pretty decent season, I would say.
Yeah.
Who else would it be other than Cale Makar?
I mean,
anybody in the NHL. The mold. Yeah.
It's breaking the mold. We were going to go all offense first, but you can't go without talking about Cale Makar. So we're breaking our mold here of the plan we had, and we're going to talk about the one and only Cale Makar today.
Yeah, it's what Cale Makar did all season. He broke the mold. I don't think anybody in the NHL raised their stock more than Cale Makar did this season. No one had a more successful season in the NHL this year. That's just a fact.
Yeah, I mean, he was everything and more for this Avalanche team. I mean, the defense, the offense. I mean, if he doesn't have a cold start to the season, we're probably talking about a guy with 30 goals and 100 points.
Yeah, he'd be like, we kind of all forget that he had that hurt wrist at the start of the season. And that early game in Washington, he was like a -5.
It was the worst game he's ever played.
And it was a -3 the next game in Florida as well. He was a -8 in two games. Ever since then, he just went up and only got better and better. Because imagine that, he wasn't hurt.
Yeah, he really turned it on. And a lot of people were wondering at the beginning of the year, like, is Devon Taves as important as we think? And yeah, he is, but there was no joke that Cale Makar was banged up to start the season. And he didn't play any games in the preseason. He played zero. So those were his preseason games, those first five games. And then once the guy got healthy, it was like, oh yeah, there's the Cale Makar we all know and love.
Yeah. And then it turned into, oh shit, this is not the Cale Makar we've seen in past years. This is Cale Makar from last year on crack. This guy's ridiculous right now.
He's ridiculous right now. I mean, the game that really sticks out for me in the regular season, but really kind of asserted his dominance. I can't remember if MacKinnon was out for it, but it was a game against the Ottawa Senators. And he had two goals, and they were two of the prettiest goals I've ever seen. And he made it look so easy.
If you're talking about the one at home, then yes, there was
no MacKinnon. There was no MacKinnon. That's what I thought. He was. He
didn't play in the next Ottawa game.
Yeah.
Now that I'm looking at it. So, yeah.
He had two goals, beautiful goals on each of them. I think they tied the game each time or gave the Avs the lead in them. But it was that moment that I think Cale Makar was just like, oh, yeah, it's about to go down.
It's all coming together.
I am God, and you are just any other defenseman.
It's funny. This stretch that you're talking about right now, this, like, the numbers he's putting up as a defenseman are not fair. It starts November 17th at Vancouver, goal assist at Seattle, two goals, one assist. The one you're talking about against Ottawa, he had two goals, nine shots, 24 minutes. And Anaheim, the next game, he had a goal against Dallas, a game we lost, he had a goal. And then a game against Nashville that we dominated, he had three assists. Then Toronto, he had nothing. Goal against Montreal, goal against Philly, assist at the Rangers, and 2 points against the Red. I almost just accidentally went through like 2 months of hockey for him because that's just how dominant he was during that stretch. And it just never changed throughout the entire season.
No,
I can't
it never
like,
change.
There's been a couple of dominant years over the last couple of years. Like, we've seen what McDavid's done in single seasons. What Cale Makar did this season from start to finish is one of the best seasons we've seen from anybody in a long time, from not even just what he's doing on the offensive side of the puck. He had 86 points this season, and that gets overshadowed by the fact that Roman Josi almost had 100. But Makar, if it wasn't for Josi, would have like broken the record for the who was it last time? I'm totally, but was it Leach who had the last one?
I think so.
Yeah, it was. I think don't quote me, but I think it was like Leach in the 90s who had the highest point total of a defenseman until Josi and Makar. And if it wasn't for Josi, Makar would have been alone in that. So you think like, oh, well, how's his defense? The best in the NHL.
He was plus 48.
Yeah,
he was
plus 48. Plus 48. And so you put all of that together. Nobody had a better season than Cale Makar in the NHL. And you go to the playoffs as well. Unequivocally, the Avs' best player. Like, we've talked about Cale in other people's episodes because he's just that prominent. We've talked about him in McKinnon's episode where, if it wasn't for Cale Makar being the best player in the world in the playoffs, McKinnon gets that Conn Smythe. Here we are with Cale Makar. His playoffs were ridiculous.
It was one of the best playoff runs by a defenseman in the history of the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, like the only one I think of is 2017 Erik Karlsson, where he dragged that Senators team kicking and screaming to the Eastern Conference.
The thing that we talk about too is Makar ended up having what, 29 points in the playoffs, right?
Yes. Yeah. Where is he here? Yeah, 29 points in 29 points
in 20 games. Like the Avs just kicked the shit out of so many people. Makar could have had 40 points if they had played. If a couple of those series went a couple more games, that was the pace he was at, especially in that Nashville series. He could have probably hit, he had 10 points in four games. Right. Like, he was ridiculous in that first round series.
I mean, his score line in that series was 3 points, 1 point, the overtime winner, 3 points, 3 points. 10 points in four games does not happen. That's not a thing that normal players do.
That's for a forward. We're talking about a defenseman,
A defenseman.
Yeah. Like, he is the ultimate game breaker. And we talked about this. I think it was Raj who may have said it when we had him on for the first time, that Connor McDavid's one, but Cale Makar's two. He's the number two player in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
And coming shout out into, Raj. He got that one. Nailed it on the head.
Well, Raj is just ridiculously smart. We never should have doubted him to be. I don't think we did doubt him at all, but... No. The thing is that, like, Cale Makar went from, like, yeah, he's definitely in that best defenseman conversation at the start of the season to, like, oh, now he is, you have to have the conversation with McDavid and Makar. It's like, do you want the star center or do you want the star defenseman as the building block for your entire franchise? And most people would go McDavid, and, you know, that's fine and that's fair. But the fact that we're even having that conversation right now is something we were not doing at the beginning of the season. No.
And we all knew Cale Makar was really good. Yeah. Like, we all knew he was.
He was the favorite to win the Norris. Yeah.
He was the favorite. And he exceeded expectations, which I did not think he was going to be able to do because his expectations were set very high. And you go back to last offseason, he signed that deal for, what, 8 years, $9 million?
I think it was six, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was six because it just took him right through to his...
6 years, $9 million.
6 years, $9 million. We talked about McKinnon having a bargain contract. The Avs may go from McKinnon's bargain contract to Cale Makar's bargain contract because that is a ridiculous deal. He's still what, like the third highest paid defenseman in the league?
I don't think anymore. I think he's gone down on that list. If you can give me a very quick second to pull up defensemen.
Because I know Drew Doughty makes 11.
Yeah, Erik Karlsson makes 11. Nurse is going to make more.
Yep. Seth Jones makes more.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like those contracts were signed after Cale.
Yeah.
So Cale Makar, right now, are you ready for this?
Let's hear it.
I just want you to throw me out like a number. Where do you think Cale Makar is on here? He's
got to be top 10.
He is top 10. Where is he in top 10, do you think?
Just by your reaction, I'm going to say ninth.
He's 10th.
10th.
Okay, he's tied for ninth, to be fair. He's tied with Dougie Hamilton for ninth. For highest paid defenseman in the NHL, Erik Karlsson makes the most money at 11.5. Doughty, Zach Werenski, I forgot about that. Charlie McAvoy, Seth Jones, Adam Fox, Darnell Nurse, Roman Josi, and he makes the same as Dougie Hamilton. And he makes 200K more than Alex Pietrangelo.
I love it, dude. Like we talked about, the McKinnon contract is going to be, it was the bargain of all bargains. And now you just add another one in Cale Makar, who could easily make $12 million.
I think if you're throwing 13, and I don't even know if you're reaching market value yet.
Yeah,
for what Cale Makar does, and for the premium that he does it at his position, I don't think 13 is market value still.
And that's going to be, he is going to get so much money on his next contract because he'll be what, 28, 29 when that happens.
Yeah, like he'll be like in his prime, essentially. Yeah.
That's the scariest part. Kale McCarr's still not in his prime.
Like, right. We don't know if Kale McCarr has even had his best season yet. Kale McCarr next season might be better. He might hit 30 goals and 100 points.
I'm expecting it.
Sleeping, he might do that.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, he's going to, and he's going to be in that every single year for probably the next 10 years. Like, I mean, Carlson really fell off when he was, what, like 32 is when injuries really caught up with him?
Yeah, I mean, Erik Karlsson, it sucks because he was really good for a really long time.
Yes.
Was stuck on a bad Senators team for the most part. Not bad, but just like middling Senators team that sometimes made the playoffs. And he had his one great playoff run, historic playoff run, where he dragged them to the Eastern Conference final. Injuries came in. There's all that crap going on in Ottawa and all that strife between him and the organization and the stuff with Mike Hoffman and the stuff with Melnick and the trade. Once he started playing again, he just never recovered.
Yeah.
And now he's stuck in San Jose.
He had one good year in San Jose, and then he's just been banged up ever since. But, I mean, Kale McCarr, like you said, this could be just a footnote. Like, this may not even in 5 years be his best season. And he won the Norris Trophy, a Stanley Cup, and a Conn Smythe Trophy. Like, he's hit every single, like, accomplishment a player can hit for their position at the age of 23.
Right. Like, he has a Hall of Fame resume already. He's 23. Like, the most significant part of last season for him, when we look back his career, might only be that it was his first in all of those categories. His first Norris, his first Stanley Cup, his first Conn Smythe. Because we might be talking about like two or three in each category. With Norris's, I think we're talking like four or five minimum. I don't think that's even crazy at all to say. Yeah. And Stanley
Cup. The voters will get fatigue of it. That's the only thing.
That's the thing. They'll definitely get fatigue of it. But like, Kale McCarr has made it clear that he is the best defenseman in the NHL. Victor Hedman was year over year the best defenseman, yes. But he was always in the top three, but there was always a guy who just had like a remarkable season.
Yeah.
And it's going to beat Kale in voting. It's going to take that and a whole lot more, because Roman Josi couldn't even do it this
year.
Even with almost scoring 100 points, Kale just barely edged him out, and he deserved to. I'm not saying Josi, I thought they were going to give it to Josi just based on his points. Kale was better just at every part of his position than Josi. But you're going to have like that kind of season from Roman Josi and like a defensive season of Victor Hedman. You're going to need to have both of those seasons at once.
Yeah. And it's Kale McCarr has revolutionized how defensemen play hockey. Like, we're going to look back in 20 years and there's going to be a lot more players that grew up idolizing Kale McCarr. And you'll be like, oh yeah. Like, he's going to create this new wave of just ultra aggressive, ultra good skating defensemen. And I am so excited because it is watching Kale McCarr play hockey. Like, I don't think we really appreciate it as Avs fans, because we have to see it every night, how fucking good this guy is.
It's like, what doesn't he have? Like, what skill set does Kale McCarr not have? He can score. He's got great puck movement. He can move. His defensive ability is second to none. He can lay hits. What doesn't the guy do? He does everything at his position exceptionally well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that he doesn't do well. Like, because he added penalty killing this year to his repertoire. He was out there, like, number one PK with Devon Taves. And once he got implemented into the PK miraculously got 10 times better. Like, it's not a coincidence that that happened.
Right, not at all. He doesn't take a ton of penalties.
Yep.
Like, there's really just nothing that Kale McCarr does that I would say is even average.
Yeah, I don't think so, man. There's very few players you can say that about. Very few, and Kale McCarr is one of them. And we'll get to watch him in an Avs sweater for hopefully his entire career. And man, I really don't think he's reached his peak yet. Like, he's still going to get better. And if getting better is improving on an 86 point season and almost 30 goals, yeah, I'll take that all day.
Like that, like, that's got to be terrifying for every other NHL team. Like the fact that it's like, we're not talking about Kale McCarr as like a 19-year-old that could do all of these things. The fact that he's currently doing them right now and has already pretty much won most things he can win outside of like the heart, which he might get one of those one day too. It's hard awesome. Because he's on the Avalanche and there's a lot of good players here, and you don't get votes when you're on good teams, but he's done just about all of it already at 23, and he's just going to keep adding to those awards. Yeah, and he's only going to get better. Like, I don't think I know we've said it a lot, but I also don't think we've stressed it enough that he's going to get better.
He's going to get smarter. He's going to get more crafty too with his skill set. And I just go back to his rookie year. Remember when he was compared to Quinn Hughes? And it was like, oh my God, these guys are revolutionizing the game. And Quinn Hughes is still a good defenseman. He's don't get me wrong.
But he might as well be playing on the wing.
Yeah, he is really bad defensively, and he's kind of kept his production about what it was his rookie year. He hasn't really improved. Cale Makar went, if you're looking at a graph, it's just level, then pew, shoot straight up.
Can you imagine if Quinn Hughes got that Calder?
Oh, that would have been a travesty. It would have been a travesty. Because like if you're ranking defense, I mean, Quinn Hughes is probably like a B tier defenseman, and that's not a bad thing.
I would say he's a great playmaker. He doesn't have the goal scoring ability of Makar at all, and he's not that good defensively. He's a B tier guy. He's definitely someone that Vancouver can build around. He's only 22, and he's going to get a lot better. But that's what we're saying. Like one day, maybe Quinn Hughes will be even close to the level that Cale Makar is right now.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but. I mean, you talk about Roman Josi, talk about Victor Hedman, you talk about all those guys. They're all kind of older too at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, Josi's on the other half of 30 now. Hedman's 30 plus. I mean, Makar is like really the only one. Like Adam Fox is good too. Don't get me wrong. Adam Fox is a good defenseman, but he's not Cale Makar.
Yeah. I mean, the only real like long-term competition, like in this group of players is Adam Fox and Charlie McAvoy.
I like Charlie McAvoy
and Miro Heiskanen too. Miro Heiskanen gets left out of that conversation. He's excellent.
He's excellent, but I'm going to need to see him now that Klingberg's gone really step his game up.
He needs to be what Cale Makar is for the Avalanche, where he is like a single-handedly dominant player.
Yes.
And not just like, because he, in Heiskanen's defense, he has been doing that with Klingberg there. It's just that having Klingberg on that team takes some attention off of him sometimes, but. Yep. This season, I think we're going to see Heiskanen as a finalist.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's Cale Makar and everyone else at this point right now. And I really, I can't wait for it. I mean, the regular season was good. And then, like we mentioned in the playoffs, we can't undersell how good Cale Makar was in the playoffs. Started in the Nashville series, which was, I remember when we were previewing it with the Catfish on Ice guys, it was like, it's Makar versus Josi. And Cale kicked his ass in like every single category.
It was not close.
Yeah. So he took that beast down. You go into the St. Louis series, he was quieter in that series. I mean, for Cale Makar standards, he was quieter.
Offensively, he was.
Yeah, but defensively, he was still stalwart. You go into the Edmonton series, he was terrific.
He
torched
them. He single-handedly bullied the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah.
And, I mean, that play that everyone talks about is where he was defending McDavid on that breakaway, and he just made that poke check look so easy. And I remember in the moment, I was like, oh, that's a good defensive play. But then you go back and watch highlights of Connor McDavid, and he's just undressing defensemen one-on-one, and Makar made it look so easy.
It just looked like an incredibly routine play for him.
Yeah, and there's very few defensemen in the world that can do that to Connor McDavid, and Cale Makar did that. And I would argue, of the three playoff series the Oilers played, I'd say Makar and Taves did a pretty good job shutting down McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah, it's pretty tough competition to go from the Kings and the Flames and their defenses to Cale Makar and Devon Taves.
Yeah.
I'd say. That's a pretty rough matchup.
Yeah, pretty rough. And Makar and Taves won. I think McDavid ended up having, three goals in that series, maybe like 3 or 4 points.
Yeah.
So but that's still a lot, don't get me wrong. But for Connor McDavid, how he was playing in the playoffs, that was average. That was pedestrian for him. So the key part that people forget talking about Cale Makar is he's a defenseman. Defense is in his name, and he is excellent at that too. And then you go to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Again, Makar versus Hedman, two Norris finalists. Hedman was good. I wouldn't say he was Victor Hedman, but Cale Makar was a man amongst boys in that series.
Yeah, I just find it really funny that Cale went up against like all of his direct like competition for the Norris, and like I throw McDavid into that mix as well now that he's like being compared to him like one versus two, and he beat all of them like just straight up head to head, like no debate. He was better than Roman Josi without question. It wasn't close. He was better than Connor McDavid in that series too, and he was much better than Victor Hedman in the final too.
Yeah, I mean, Hedman had one goal, I think.
Victor Hedman was, and this was his third Stanley Cup final in 3 years. He's also getting a little bit older. Maybe not entirely fair, but Makar was heads and shoulders ahead of him.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. And he ends up, he had two goals in the Stanley Cup final, if I remember right. It was just in game.
He had three.
He had three?
Yeah.
So he had in game two. Oh, he had that one that got kicked in by Chernak. That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, he had three goals. How many assists did he have in the finals?
He had four.
Yeah, so 7 points for a defenseman and
six
a point per game. Yeah, he was a point per game player in the Stanley Cup final. And deservedly so, won the Conn Smythe. I mean, it was one of those Conn Smythe where it was like, yeah, the Avs had a ton of really good performers, but if you're the best player on the best team and you're that far ahead of everyone else in the voting, yeah, you're pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, they had MacKinnon doing what he was doing. Like, Nichushkin was incredibly good in the playoffs, yes, and was starting to really sneak into that conversation, too. He had all these options, and it was undoubtedly Cale.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
Hey, everybody. Hope you've been enjoying this episode so far. Interrupting to bring you a word from our sponsor at DraftKings Sportsbook. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right, make your first bet up to $1,000, and if you don't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. Even though hockey's over, there is still plenty to bet on at DraftKings Sportsbook. And best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So what are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, make your first deposit, and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Now, back to the episode.
Just without question, Cale Makar was the best player in the playoffs. So he ends the season with a Norris, a Stanley Cup, and a Conn Smythe, and he's not even 24.
Pretty good summer.
Yeah.
And then he gets his day with the cup, and you remember that he's just 24 years old and he's drinking slushies, eating pancakes out of it. Like, you forget how young he is.
I love it. He's just such like a chill dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's not doing anything wild with it. He's like, yeah, I just want to go to like the gas station and just like put like a slushie in it, have breakfast out of it, and just have it in bed.
Just is like he the Avs most likable player, you think, from an outside fan base?
What could you possibly not like about Cale Makar? That he's so likable?
That could be I could see like Wild and Blues fans hating him because he's good.
Yeah, because he's good, and he's just so goddamn perfect.
Yeah, but like to an impartial fan, like I think if you were to show a bunch of Avs players and you just showed them clips of Cale Makar, I'd be like, yeah, I like that guy. Like
you just look at his face and be like, yeah, that's a guy I would trust. Like yeah. I would tell Cale Makar like all of my darkest secrets, and I know he wouldn't tell a soul. I would trust that man with anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's a babyface assassin, man. Like that's just. It's just how he is. Like it. My favorite thing was him talking about how he was trying to grow his playoff beard. And if there's one thing we're better than Cale Makar at our age, I'm almost 28, you're 21. We can grow better beards than Cale Makar. That's about it. That's all we got. That's all we got. And I don't know about you, but a beard, Stanley Cup, Hobie Baker, multimillionaire. I'll take the beard every single time. So
yeah, easily.
It's so just awesome to think he's going to be a member of the Avs for so long. And I'm going to ask you something, and I don't want you to like, you maybe think I'm overreacting. Has Cale Makar already cemented himself as like getting his jersey retired by the Avs, you think?
Something would have to go horrifically wrong for him to not have his jersey retired by the Avs. Like, I mean, you can already make the argument he's one of the better players in franchise history.
Yeah.
Like, it's not at all crazy. Like, if he retired tomorrow, you definitely have the conversation about retiring his jersey, but we all know he's going to play for at least 10, 15 more years.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably going to have his jersey retired at this pace.
Can you think about that? Like, because the Avs in their first go around in like the 90s, you retired Sakic, Foot, Forsberg, Hajduk, Bork, and Waugh. Like, the Avs are going to have a shit ton of jerseys retired.
So like players keep
going this way.
Yeah, like, because Landeskog's going to have his retired when all's said and done. McKinnon's going to have his retired. McCarr's going to have his retired. Like, that's three more guys right
now. Yeah, I mean, Rantanen's on pace.
Yeah, Rantanen's on pace. We'll see what he can do. Like, all of the stars of this generation, if they're going on the pace that they're going, could realistically, there could be a lot less numbers to choose from.
Yeah, no, and I would argue a guy who's kind of a dark horse who we're going to talk about later this week, if Val Nichushkin can continue to play the way he's playing and finish his career, I'm not saying he's like as a lock as compared to like the guys we just listed, but he's probably the next guy down on the list of guys.
My argument to that would be he's never going to really win any awards or anything like that.
Oh, he's winning a Selke next year.
I mean, he's definitely going to get the attention now for it, but I think he's going to need a couple of Conn Smythes mixed in to have that argument.
Yeah, no, I mean, of guys on that list, like we just listed off four players who are pretty much like, unless something really bad happens, they're pretty much locks. Like,
I'd say Rantanen right now is a maybe.
Yeah.
Like, but Landeskog, McKinnon, McCarr, they're going to get retired.
Yeah. I mean, if Mikko continues his trajectory, he's going to be a 500 goal scorer. I mean, it's quite possible. And if I'm him, I'm probably not leaving the Avs. He's going to stay here. Like, it's going to be crazy just to see it, because the Avs are still just such a relatively young team when you look at it in the grand scheme of things compared to the NHL. The fact they already have five jerseys retired is going to be quite interesting when there's four more pretty much guaranteed that are going to be retired.
Yeah. So in 20 years, there's going to be a lot less 90s to choose from.
Yes. A lot less 90s, a lot less single digits. It's going to be just a hell of a time. And I mean, Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog, I think you can put at probably a 99% chance they get their jerseys retired.
Oh yeah.
If they stay. So, I mean, we've kind of previewed it this whole episode. What are your thoughts next year for Cale Makar? Like, how can he improve?
That's exactly where I was going to take this next. I mean, improve? I mean, how can this guy possibly improve on what he did last season? But the thing is, we all know he's going to.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's going to hit 100 points. I think he's going to hit 30 goals. I think he's going to win the Norris again. And I don't think it's even going to be that close, honestly. I don't think Roman Josi is going to have another like sniffing 100 point season. I think he might at 80, like maybe around that area. I think Victor Hedman's going to be great. Adam Fox is going to have a great season. I think Miro Heiskanen is going to be a finalist. I don't think anyone's going to come close to what Cale Makar is going to do next season. I think we're going to see an absolutely historic season from Cale Makar. I can't even say anything he's going to improve on. I just think he's just going to do everything he's doing amazing right now and somehow just do it better.
Yeah, because if you go back and look at the 80s, we've talked about this. Like, Paul Coffey was a generational defenseman, and he ended up putting – I think he had 46 goals one year. Like, Cale Makar is never going to come close to that.
It's just not possible.
It's not possible in today's NHL. I mean, he's going to be the closest player who I think will get even sniffing Paul Coffey's records. Yeah. I really think he's going to be the closest one. He could be the first defenseman since when to have 100 points in a season. Who was the last one? Was it Mike Green?
I don't think Green ever hit 100.
Oh, he had 30 goals.
He had the 30 goals. I don't think he ever came close to 100.
No. So, I mean, he's going to be the first one in forever to get there. I agree with you. And his game just lends so well to, like, he's never really, like, in scrums. He's never really taken big hits because he's so smart.
And he's so fast. And, like, to hit Cale Makar, you got to catch him.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to be, like, standing still. You got to line him up. Like, his eyes are always constantly all over the ice. And when someone does line him up and he sees them, there's nowhere for him to go, he'll just go through them instead.
Yeah. Like, I love Sam Girard, but Sam Girard has a tendency to get crushed. Like, in Cale Makar's 3 years, I can't remember a time where he's been crushed.
Yeah, like he's been knocked down a couple of times, but there's never been a time where it's like, oh, Cale got decked.
Yeah.
Because like, even on the hard hits, like, he can give it back to you just as hard. Yeah. If he's going down, odds are you are too.
Yeah, his game lends very well to sustainability and not taking big hits and injuries. I really think like there's going to be a time where he's going to miss a couple games. Like, he's not going to play 82 games. That's just, if he's even dinged up a little bit, they're going to rest him. But I still think he's going to hit 100 points. And hopefully this off season is his first off season of like complete health. I doubt it, because he was probably banged up in the Stanley Cup final, just like everyone was. But to our knowledge, no surgeries. I don't want to sound like a homer, but I really think he has a chance to maybe hit 35, 40 goals next year.
When it comes to Cale Makar, like, I don't think you can rule anything. And also, we were right. It was Brian Leetch in 92 at 102 points. That was the last time it was done, because I'm looking this up now. But when it comes to Cale, I don't think you can rule out 35 goals. Like, 40 goals, like, I think that's maybe a little much. But for him,
you never know.
I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, if he plays all 82 games,
yes,
I don't think that's crazy.
No, I don't think so. Like, it sounds crazy to say, because we're talking about a fucking defenseman. But in the grand scheme of things, man, like, we're talking about Cale freaking Makar. Like, he has the chance to do that. And I agree with you. I just don't see anyone taking out his Norris mantle. I think we're going to go on like a good like 3-4 year span where he'll be a finalist and win a couple. I just hope the voters don't do the whole like, oh, he's won it the past couple times, so we're not going to give.
There's going to be a couple years where that's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be.
There's going to be like, when Hedman's almost done, that he's going to have a great season and they're going to give him one like on his way out and whatever.
Well, he should. He's only won one, which is
awesome. That's crazy to me that Hedman's only gotten one. That's one of the biggest travesties in the league right now. But
I agree with you. I don't think he's going to get unseated for a while. Like, there's a couple good defensemen coming in the league, but none of them are Cale Makar.
Yeah. And if Cale Makar does get unseated even for 1 year, you're just going to have to tip your cap, because it's just going to be an absolutely Herculean effort.
Yes.
From whoever does it.
And I just don't know who's going to do it. Like, I think Adam Fox is good, but everyone's kind of realizing that he's good, but
he's great. He's one of the best defensemen in the NHL, but he isn't Cale Makar.
Yeah. And he stole Cale Makar's Norris
because Cale missed games.
Yeah. Cale Makar should be a back-to-back Norris champion right now, but that's another podcast we can complain about that.
And like, and Charlie McAvoy is great. One of the better like defensemen in the NHL. One of the best. He's not Cale Makar.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think the only one who could realistically catch him is Miro Heiskanen, but we haven't seen it yet.
Like, Heiskanen, I don't think he's hit 40 points in his career. And I hate bringing up points for a defenseman, but when Cale Makar just scored 86, you got to kind of climb up that list if you're going to be in this conversation.
Yeah. And I think Miro Heiskanen has a skill set to do it. I don't think he's going to, though, just because Dallas is so, like, his plus minus numbers aren't going to look that great because Dallas isn't very good. So I agree with you. I think he wins it again next year. The Avs are cup favorites. We're not going to come on here and say the Avs aren't going to win the Stanley Cup, because who the fuck would we be on the Tell It Avs It Is podcast? But he's in line. Like, he could win a couple Conn Smythe before it's all said and done too. Like, he's so fucking good, dude. And he has so much potential that is still hasn't been reached yet, that I truly cannot wait to see what he does this year. And if he stays healthy, I mean, is it crazy? If he goes 35 goals, has 110 points, you think he has a shot at the Hart?
If 110 points as a defenseman, yeah. You're going to get some consideration for the Hart. I mean, that hasn't been done since 1986. Paul Coffey had 138 points. But
that's ridiculous.
Like, and 35 goals alone would be eighth most all-time by a defenseman. 35 hasn't happened since 1986. Do you want to take a guess who that was?
Paul Coffey?
Same season. Right, yeah, same season he had 138 points. Yeah, he had 48 goals and 90 assists.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's even for Cale, that's going to be pretty tough to unseat in both categories.
I'm going to say that's impossible.
I'm good at, if Cale Makar ever does that, he's the best defenseman of all time.
Yes. In today's NHL, yeah, without a doubt.
It won't even be, if he's ever approaching 140 points as a defenseman in the modern day NHL, he's better than Bobby Orr.
Because what is the highest point total that we've seen in the modern era?
In the modern era, I mean,
because McDavid only, like, he had that.
I think it might have been Roman Josi.
Really?
Because you look at, he's the only guy in the top 20 that played in the 2000s.
Yeah. I mean, Yoshi had a great year.
He had 96 points. He's 19th all time. And no one else in that top 20 is played in anything less than 1992.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. That's absolutely ridiculous.
The next closest is Cale Makar in that same season with 86 points. And Victor Hedman, that same season, we forget this, at 85.
Yeah.
All three, the first three guys from the 2000s on this list are all from the same season.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. Pretty good.
And so, Cale Makar won that, Norris. Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen again, but if a player can get there, like I really think if he has 110 points, we know McDavid's probably going to get 120 if he stays healthy. Matthews is going to score, what, 70 goals maybe?
Yeah, I mean, McDavid's going to score 50-plus. Matthews is going to score 60-plus. And I think Matthews has a good shot at winning the Hart again because I just don't know how good the Leafs are going to be. And I think he's definitely going to be carrying a lot in the regular season. It's also going to be the same case with the Oilers. It's hard to argue those, especially for most valuable player.
Yeah.
But when you're doing what Cale Makar does, and also to answer your question, the only guy not in that season from the 2000s is Brent Burns in 18-19. He had 83 points.
It's pretty solid for Brent Burns.
Those are the only guys from the 2000s in the top 50.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. But yeah, I mean, Cale Makar, like we said, he's Cale freaking Makar. He's going to do big things, and he's only 23 years old, which is crazy. And it's a very real possibility that we could have Cale Makar, Bo Byram as a top pair defense group here in the next 4 years. Because as much as I love Devon Taves, he's played so well, he is going to get a bag his next contract.
I just do not see a possible way that we can keep Devon Taves unless we are like gutting something else.
Yeah.
Because Devon Taves is going to get 8 million plus. On the low end.
And he deserves it.
And he absolutely deserves it.
So we're going to enjoy these last 2 years of Devon Taves. He's going to part ways for Bowen Byram. And yeah, I mean, the Avs are going to be really fucking good for a while on defense. So that's our first defenseman, unless you had anything else.
I can talk about Cale Makar all day.
Yeah, I mean, we could go on for 3 hours, but for the sanctity of trying to keep our listeners engaged. I'm sure we'll talk more about Cale Makar in future episodes because he's pretty important to the team.
Yeah, so, like he just comes up all the time.
Yeah. So I don't have anything else for the one and only Cale Makar, though. So I think we can send these people on their merry way.
Absolutely. At least 30 goals. I think he does it. I think he hits 100 points.
I think so, too.
The first guy since Leach in 92 to do that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a historic season. It still might not even be his best because he'll only be 24.
Only.
Yeah, he's going to be 24 in October. He might just be starting to hit his prime years.
That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
So,
like unfair and ridiculous.
Unfair, ridiculous. Just all of the words to describe Cale Makar. We could probably just do an episode, honestly, of just like adjectives to describe Cale Makar.
Yeah, I mean, a long time ago, like even before Cale had this season, I was doing that the season before, the shortened one. I just did like when the COVID breaks happened, I just did entire episodes on Cale Makar.
I don't blame you. It's easy content.
I just did like entire 50 minutes talking about like what Cale Makar can do in his career. And I haven't been wrong yet.
I haven't been wrong. We forgot. What's your grade for Cale Makar?
Oh, okay. A plus.
A plus. Simple. We have to say because we're doing that for every player. I mean, yeah.
I totally forgot about doing those. But
yeah,
that's the simplest grade we're handing out.
Easiest.
Like, when we talk about like there's going to be a couple guys that get A pluses, we were both thinking about Cale Makar.
Yeah.
He was an unequivocal A plus without question or hesitation. A plus.
If there was a grade higher than an A plus, he'd get that.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I'm giving him an A plus plus. Just to differentiate him from everybody else, A++.
Put that on the graphic.
Nobody had a better season than Cale Makar did, not just on the Avs in the NHL. As the only time I will ever give out an A++, unless Cale Makar has a better season than he did last year.
And he could get an A++.
Yeah. Like awesome. This is the only time I'm not giving out another A++. I might not even do it next season. Like this might be the only time, the first time we're doing this in podcast history, might be the only time you ever see an A++.
I love it.
So enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Oh, all right, man. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah. So that's Kale McCarr. We're going right back to the offense next and starting with the second line. The next one you hear from us is going to be Valeri Nichushkin, the man who had an incredible season this year, who went from 10 goals to over 20, and one of the most important players in the playoffs. We're going to be discussing him in full detail next time. But for now, that's going to do it for us on this edition of the Tell It Abs It Is podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Thank you all so very much, as always, for tuning in. Use promo code TELLITABSITIS on SeatGeek for $20 off your first order of $50 or more. We would really appreciate it. It's the best possible way to help out the show. We're still selling merch over at DenverNosebleeds.com. We're still selling the Jared Bednar Kendall shirt with the Stanley Cup. We're selling the stickers. We've got some more ideas cooking that are going to be coming out here relatively soon, so keep an eye out for those as well. But that's going to do it for us on this edition. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow me at GYoungsNHL. You can follow Christian at Christian_Belay, where he has those videos he's making blowing up every single time. And you can follow the show at Tell It Abs It Is for your daily reminder that the Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions, because that is what my off-season mode looks like. But that's going to do it for us on this edition. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we will catch you all in a couple of days talking about Valeri Nichushkin. But until then, let's go Avs.